All right, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Now, this is a little bit different for me being out here in the sanctuary on a Wednesday night. And I don't know, different just makes you a little nervous. I told Brother Brandon, I'm nervous tonight, and I shouldn't be. We're church family. This is normal right here. But anyway, y'all pray for me. The pastor's out of town. Most of you probably know. I don't know if Brother Brandon announced it earlier. I wasn't in here. But the pastor had to go to South Carolina to be a part of the funeral of Miss Sharon's first cousin, Robbie. Who passed, and so the funeral's early tomorrow, and they couldn't get there in time tomorrow, so they left yesterday, and they're in church tonight at Brother Jeremy, his nephew's church, and he texted me right before church and said he was praying for us and that he would be checking up on us. So I tell you, this media stuff is something. The pastor can listen in on you, watch in on you. I mean, he knows what's going on, the eye in the sky back there, amen? All right, we're going to go ahead and get into our mess. Before we do, I got to test something out. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. I got my youth group here. I told them, I said, I want all y'all to sit in one section tonight. And I said, when I give y'all the signal, I need an amen. All right, so we'll see. They're not doing good already. I've already lost them. But anyway, all right. So we're going to go ahead and get into tonight's message. And you can take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. I know you just got out of your prayer groups, but I need prayer, so I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to read the scripture, and we're going to get into the message for tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, I thank you for this place, Lord, a place we can come together as your people, and God, we can be encouraged by one another. God, we can hear from your word, and God, we can just enjoy the fellowship of your spirit, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd meet with us tonight in a special way. God, I need your help. And Lord, I realize that if anything profitable happens tonight, it's not going to be because of my sermon, but it's going to be because of your spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you would take the words tonight that are given. God, I pray you would anoint them. God, I pray that you would bring forth fruit as a result of the service tonight. Lord, speak to hearts, I pray. Lord, please be with our pastor while he's away. Lord, I pray for the funeral service tomorrow. Help him, God, to be a witness and a testimony. And God, just help him to be an encouragement there to the family and to others. Lord, use him as a light there in his hometown. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. We just pray for your blessing upon the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to preach a message tonight that it's going to seem a little weird coming from me. Some of you won't realize this, but some of you will. There we go. All right. I just wanted to test them out. But some of you realize this about me. And as much as I move my hands, I got to watch out because I won't mean for them to say amen. And I'm always talking with my hands. They'll be amen. And, you know, I'll say I'm ugly. And they'll say amen. But I'm going to preach a message tonight that I've entitled, Are You in the Christmas Spirit? Are you in the Christmas spirit? And my wife's back there smiling right now because those of you that know me well would probably say, well, I know the answer to you, Brother David. I'm not the most, I don't know how you say it. I'm a Scrooge. Yeah, that's what some people would call it. I'm not into the commercialization of Christmas, okay? I enjoy the season. I enjoy some of the songs. I enjoy some of the decorations. I definitely enjoy the food, and I enjoy getting presents. I don't enjoy giving them. No, I'm just playing. I enjoy it all. It's nice. I do enjoy it, but I don't enjoy the commercialization of it and the pressure that our society puts on people. They just take away from what it's really about. And so some people would say I'm a Scrooge. I don't believe I am. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you in the Christmas spirit? In a minute, you're going to see where I'm going with this. I heard a message sometime back. And someone was preaching somewhere along these lines, and it just kind of got my wheels turning. So I got into my Bible and I started studying and reading some things, and God spoke to my heart. And so I want to speak tonight on that subject. Are you in the Christmas spirit? You know, this time of year we hear a lot about that subject. People will say to you, Are you in the Christmas spirit? You know, and I've been at work and people say, so are you in the Christmas spirit at your house? And I know what they mean. They mean, do you got your decorations up? Have you finished your shopping? Are you listening to Christmas music? You know, that's what people mean when they say, are you in the Christmas spirit? But I want to kind of take that thought tonight and I want us to look at it from another aspect. You know, there's so many different ways to define the Christmas spirit, but tonight I want us to look at the real Christmas spirit. You know, when you hear messages around this time of season, and myself, I've preached many messages around the Christmas season to our teenagers, and a lot of times you speak about God the Father, you know, you speak about God the Son, you speak about that God loved the world, He sent His Son, but you know, a lot of times around this season, you don't hear a lot about God the Spirit. And tonight, I want us to look at the Christmas story, and I want us to see God the Spirit in the Christmas story. And after tonight's message, I want you to answer for yourself and me to answer for myself, am I in the Christmas spirit? There is a Christmas spirit. And we're gonna look at that tonight. We're gonna look at the real spirit of Christmas. You got your Bibles in Luke. In Luke chapter number 1, I want us to begin our reading in verse number 26. And the Bible says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, and here's our word, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. You see, we don't hear a lot about the Holy Ghost around Christmas. But can I tell you tonight, the real spirit of Christmas, or the real Christmas spirit, is the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter number 1 verse 18 says this, Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 20 says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see, that is the spirit of Christmas. And so tonight when I ask you that question, are you in the Christmas spirit? Really, what I'm asking you is, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Because the real Christmas spirit is not found in Christmas songs. It's not found in Christmas trees. It's not found in shopping malls. And it's not found in get-togethers and jingles and cookies and all those things. I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but those things are not the real spirit of Christmas or the real Christmas spirit. The real Christmas spirit is the Holy Ghost of God. You see, without the Holy Ghost, there is no Christmas. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so tonight I want to speak on that subject. Are you in the Christmas spirit? You say, what is the Christmas spirit, Brother David? Well, in Luke chapter 1, I believe the first time we see the Holy Spirit at work here, I would say it's a spirit of power. Look at verse number 35 again. Mary asked in 34, then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, in this story right here, it says the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Can I tell you, more than anything in this Christmas season, what we need is for the power of the Holy Ghost to overshadow us.
You see, the real Christmas spirit is a spirit of power. Now, I understand tonight, I'm preaching on a Wednesday night, and I understand people have worked, and I understand people are tired, but I tell you, I come to church tonight with a burden. I come to church with passion. I come to church tonight with a message from God, and I want to speak to you tonight about the Christmas spirit. Are you in the Christmas spirit? I don't mean, do you have jingle bells on playing at home? I don't mean, have you got tinsel around the house? I don't mean, are the lights on the front porch? No, what I mean is, do you have the power of the Holy Ghost? Because that is the spirit of Christmas. He said that the power, I want us to look at that verse again. It says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. I've been thinking about this all week since the pastor called me and asked me what I preached tonight. I've been thinking about this message, and I've been thinking about these thoughts, and oh, how I want this Christmas to be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how I want to really be in the Christmas spirit. Oh, how I want to know what it is to have the power of the highest to overshadow me. See, that's what I need tonight. I need the power of the highest to overshadow me as I speak to you. That's what I need tomorrow as I go to work and I interact with my coworkers and with people that I'm around. I need the power of the highest to overshadow me. And that's what you need as we go to Christmas get-togethers and Christmas dinner. Hey, we need the power of the highest to overshadow us. It's so important. See, the Christmas spirit is a spirit of power. I thought about Acts chapter number 1 where Jesus said that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power. You see, the Holy Ghost gives power. Can I ask you tonight, do you have power? I want to make sure they're still listening. Do you have power? Really? I've been asking myself that all week. Do I have power? The power of the Holy Ghost. You say, is it real, Brother David? Oh, it's so real. The power of the Holy Ghost, was the Bible says the power of the Holy Ghost came over this Virgin Mary, and she was with child. Can I tell you, that was a miracle. Can I tell you, that same power is still working miracles today? And I don't know about you, but I want that power in my life. I want the power of the Holy Ghost where I can talk to people and I can see God working in their life, where I can pray and I can get a hold of heaven, where I can sense and know the power of Almighty on my life. That is the Christmas spirit. It's the spirit of the Holy Ghost, and it's a spirit of power. It's missing in our day. I'm afraid we're living in a day where nobody has power, and it's not God's fault, it's ours. See, the power is there. The power is available. The same power that moved on Mary, the same power that overshadowed Mary can overshadow me, and it can overshadow you, and it can overshadow you, and it can overshadow this place, and it can overshadow this community, and it can overshadow our lives, and it can make a difference in this world. That power, it's a spirit of power. Not only is it a spirit of power, but it's a spirit of praise. I want you to turn to, just stay right here. Look at verse number 37. I kind of skipped down a little bit. Look at verse 37. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You say, Brother David, I got a bad situation. You know what you need? The Christmas spirit. Because this Christmas spirit has power. And with God, nothing is impossible. See, I got a child that's out of church and away from God. We had one of our young people tonight pray for family members that have gotten out of church. You say, I just don't think they'll ever come back. Can I tell you, hey, there's a God that's got power, and there's nothing that's impossible with Him. They can come back. You say, I've got a family member that's sick, and the doctors are saying there's no hope. Can I tell you, hey, with God, there's always hope, because there's power with God. It's a spirit of power. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, it's a spirit of power. But not only that, it's a spirit of praise. Look at verse number 39. It says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That right there ought to solve the abortion issue, right? The babe leaped in her womb, right? That baby's alive. Amen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but hey, there it is right there. The baby leaped in her womb. My wife said our baby leaped in her womb a lot of times. I watched it. That thing would just leap and leap and leap. I don't know. But hey, the baby was leaping in the womb. And it says in verse number 41, it says the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And look what happened. It says she spake out with a loud voice, kind of like this. There you go. I think Elizabeth said, amen. That baby leaped in her womb and she said, amen, right? She said, blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You see, as soon as the Bible says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, she began to praise God. Can I tell you, the Christmas spirit is a spirit of power, but it's a spirit of praise. Hey, can I ask you this question? I asked myself this question earlier today, and I got to be honest with you, I kind of got under Holy Ghost conviction. Have you praised God today? Really? Have you praised God today? You see, because a person that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that's one of the most recognizable evidences of a filled, Holy Ghost filled person is praise. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a Spirit-filled person is a person that praises the Lord. And when I asked you tonight, are you in the Christmas spirit? What I'm asking you is, do you have the spirit of power? Do we have the spirit of praise? When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can't help but praise our God. These, just about every one of these accounts we're going to go through tonight, every one of these people in some fashion, in some form, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to praise God. So can I ask you tonight again, have you praised God today? Because if you haven't, you're not in the Christmas spirit. If I haven't, I'm not in the Christmas spirit. Now that's a convicting thing, isn't it? If you've ever been filled with the Spirit of God, you know what I'm talking about. You can't not praise God. Riding to work in the morning, singing How Great Thou Art. I mean, just lifting up your voice with nobody around, cars passing you thinking you're crazy, right? Crying, shouting, praising the Lord. Why? Filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. Nothing in this world can top the Christmas spirit, the real Christmas spirit. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise. It's also, look in verse number 64. I want us to look at verse number 64. The Bible says this, and his mouth, well, let's leave 57. It says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Verse 64 says, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. There's a man praising God. Amen. We saw Elizabeth, praise God. If we were to look down at verse number 46 through 56, we would have saw Mary, praise God. Now we see Zacharias, the Bible says he praised God. And it says, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, we have the Holy Ghost in Christmas. And it's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise. But I see here it's a spirit of proclamation. Look what it says. It says he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. You see, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to prophesy. He began to preach. He began to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Can I tell you, hey, if we're in the Christmas spirit, we're going to be proclaiming the good news of the gospel. I'm asking you tonight, are you in the Christmas spirit? See, if I would have asked that question again, I said, how many of you in the Christmas spirit? No doubt there probably would have been some that would have said, not me, I'm not in the Christmas spirit. I'm a Scrooge, right? But then there would have been some, oh, me, I'm in the Christmas spirit. I've been baking cookies all day. I've been playing Christmas music. I'm telling you right now, Frosty's going busy at my house. I just, you know, whatever. I'm in the Christmas spirit. I got to quit making that sound. I'm in the Christmas spirit. Amen, quit making that sound. All right. I'm in the Christmas spirit, right? No, but are you in the Christmas spirit? I'll tell you if you're in the Christmas spirit. If you're in the Christmas spirit, if I'm in the Christmas spirit, it's a spirit of power. It's a spirit. My wife's laughing at me. Stop it. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise, right? It's a spirit of proclamation. Have you told anybody about Jesus? That's a convicting question, isn't it? When was the last time that you told somebody about Jesus? Because I'll tell you, if you're really in the Christmas spirit, you're going to proclaim the message of the gospel. It's just a part of, it just happens. I don't want to give personal testimonies too much here tonight, but I'll tell you, God's really been speaking to my heart as I was preparing for this message. And I can tell you this, there's been times in my life, in my Christian life, where I just know I was full of the Holy Ghost. And I mean, I had power. I mean, I was praising God for everything in life, just praising God. Couldn't stop singing the praise of God, proclaiming the message, riding down the road. I can remember times where I was riding down the road and God would just speak to me. And I mean, I would just literally pass somebody in their front yard and say, are you serious, God? And God say, yes, I'm serious. And I'd say, God, I'm in a hurry. God say, go speak to that person. And some of you've probably been there. I can remember times pulling off on the side of 33 and sitting in my work van talking to the Holy Ghost saying, are you serious? I don't know that person. I'm in my work clothes. I'm breaking all the soul winning rules. I don't have a partner with me, right? But the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. And I said, okay. And I've turned around and I've went back and I've walked into a total stranger's front yard and said, I know you don't know me. I don't have a weapon. I know I look like, you know, I'm a painter from Greene County. I understand you want to run, but I promise I bring good tidings of great joy, right, to all people. I mean, I'm serious. I've walked up on some people that thought I was crazy, and I understand. And I told them, first thing I said, hey, you probably think I'm crazy. But maybe I am. But I was riding by your house, and the Holy Ghost of God
told me to come speak to you. And they'll look at you like, and I say, I know. But all I can tell you is there's a God in heaven. And I know him. And he told me to tell you, he loves you. Hey, I've seen people break down in tears. I'm not just making up some emotional story. There was a lady come to this church, got baptized, came for like 2 years, and then had back surgery and gotten out of church. And I've been by to visit her. But she joined this church, got baptized. That's how I met her. She was out working in her yard, in her front yard, and I couldn't get past it. I rode 2-3 miles up the road, pulled over, and just fought with the Holy Ghost. And I said, I'm going back and talking to her. I went back, talked to her. 30 minutes later, she stood there in her driveway, soaked in sweat from working out in the yard, cutting grass. And she started bawling in tears, and she prayed and asked the Lord to save her. And she got baptized here at this church and served God for some time. You say, what is that, Brother Dave? That's the spirit of Christmas. It's a spirit of proclamation. You can't help but tell them. I mean, have you ever had to literally make a fool of yourself? Walk out of a gas station or a restaurant, you know, you're fighting with the Holy Spirit the whole time you're in line, and God's saying, speak to him, tell him, talk to him, please tell him, give him a gospel tract, and you're going to do it. You get all brave and you get up there and you chicken out, right? I mean, am I the only person this happens to? You chicken out, and you walk out, and then the Holy Spirit says, you chicken. And I say, I got to go back in. And you walk back in there, and you have to stand back in line, and you get back up to the line. Brian's laughing. He's done it before. You get back up there, and you're like, I know you just saw me, and I know you think I'm crazy. But you know what? I know that when I was standing in line right here, God wanted me to tell you he loves you and that his son died for you. And I have something I want to give you. And what is that? That's the Christmas spirit. It's a spirit of proclamation. All throughout this Christmas story, you see person after person after person. What are they doing? They're proclaiming. A Savior has come. A Savior has come. God's going to forgive his people. God's going to save his people. It's a spirit of proclamation. I said it earlier, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Right? Proclaiming the truth. So the spirit of Christmas is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise. It's a spirit of proclamation. I like verse 64. I read that verse because it says, his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue was loosed. You know, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, your tongue gets loosed. Some of you say, Brother David, your tongue stays loosed, right? Well, some of us have just got a loose tongue, right? But hey, I don't care who you are. I don't care how shy you are. I don't care how quiet you are. You get filled with the Holy Ghost and your tongue will be loosed. You're going to tell somebody about Jesus. And it's not easy for anybody. I don't care what your personality is. It's spiritual warfare, and there's a devil, and there's an enemy, and it's a fight, and it's not easy. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can't help but do it. And so it's a spirit of proclamation. Not only that, it's a spirit of perception. Look at chapter 2, verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for consolation of Israel, for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. You know, I didn't have this in my notes, but actually, literally, on my way to church tonight, I was kind of playing this in my mind. I was quoting some of these verses in my mind, and I thought about something. You know, another Christmas spirit, it's a spirit of power, it's a spirit of praise, it's a spirit of proclamation, but can I tell you, it's a spirit of patience? I know that's convicting, right? I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's Wednesday night, right? This is when I thought about this verse. This is not a lie. I'm telling you the truth, okay? My family was all ready for church for like an hour tonight, and I kept telling them, are y'all ready? We're ready. Everybody's dressed. Everybody's ready. Everybody's good. We're good to go. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready. Come down to 625, and I'm getting ready to walk out the door, and I'm saying, Meredith, I thought y'all were ready. I'm ready. She's in the bedroom doing makeup or something, hollering, I'm ready. I'm like, no, you're not ready. You're getting ready, right? She said, just go get in the vehicle, load the kids up. I was like, no. I know how that works. No, we're not. We're all going out at the same time. And so as I went out the door and I sat in the vehicle, I was sitting there thinking, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not lying. The Holy Ghost of God said, patience. And I said, ow.
That's the Christmas spirit. You see, I mean, it's right here in the text. I mean, that's God said that to me. He said patience. And then I started thinking, and I remembered this verse that I had read this afternoon. And it said in that verse, Simeon was the same man, was just and devout, waiting, right? Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I said, how about that? Patience. You say, what's the Christmas spirit? It's a spirit of patience. You say, Brother David, I don't have any. Okay, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because I believe the Holy Ghost will give us patience. When we're going off and, you know, wanting to tell everybody what we think, show ourselves, we're not full of the Holy Ghost. It's a spirit of patience. But not only that, it's a spirit of perception. Look at verse 25. It says the Holy Ghost was upon him. 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You say, what is the Christmas spirit? It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise. It's a spirit of proclamation. It's a spirit of patience. And it's a spirit of perception. See, Simeon said, the Holy Ghost, it said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. See, when we have the real Christmas spirit, when we're really walking in the Spirit, we have perception. We really do understand the reason for the season. We really do see the opportunities to share the gospel. We really do understand the importance of Bible reading. We really do understand the importance of coming to church. We really do kind of see the world the way that God sees it when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, this Christmas, some of you, when you have family come in for Christmas dinner, you're going to need the Christmas spirit so you'll have some perception not to say what you want to say. Right? It takes perception. It takes patience. Right? It's the Christmas spirit. It's a spirit of perception. I need to hurry. Not only that, it's a spirit of peace. Look at verse 27. It says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. You know, we live in a world that is in turmoil. I mean, people are just in distress. But can I tell you, the Christmas spirit is a spirit of peace. Peace. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I had that verse written down in the spirit of perception. In John chapter 14, in verse number 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter shall come unto you, and he shall teach you all things, or he shall teach you all things that I've commanded. He's going to be your teacher, right? The Holy Spirit is going to teach you. He's going to help you to perceive some things. But not only that, right after that, in verse number 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Oh, I messed up. That was one of our Bible quiz verses. But anyway, hey, it's peace, right? It's a spirit of peace. Are you at peace tonight? Really, are you at peace tonight? I'll tell you this, as a youth pastor, as a youth leader, as somebody that works with young people, my heart is burdened for young people that have no peace. It's obvious in their faces. It's obvious in their lives. There's no peace. You say, why? Either they don't know the Prince of Peace, or they're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in their lives, because the Spirit of God is a spirit of peace. Do you have peace tonight? Do you have peace with God? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, a peace that passeth all understanding. You see, you can have peace in the midst of any storm if you're full of the Holy Ghost. if you have the Christmas spirit. It's a spirit of peace. Not only that, I'm almost done. It's a spirit of pardon. I'm not going to go through the verses, but every one of these accounts, you will find these people talking about and praising God for the pardon, for the forgiveness, for the remission of sins. That's what it's all about. Hey, the spirit of Christmas is a spirit of pardon. It's a spirit of forgiveness. Hey, are you willing to forgive? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be. You say, Brother David, I'm mad at somebody and I can't forgive them. They hurt me. They done wrong to me and I'm not going to forgive them. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will help you to forgive those that have wronged you. It is a spirit of pardon. It's a spirit of praise. It's a spirit of peace. It's a spirit of perception. It's a spirit of proclamation. It's a spirit of power. And then last, it's a spirit of preeminence. A spirit of preeminence. I'm not going to go through every account again for sake of time. I'm going to get us out right on time tonight. But can I tell you, hey, one thing I see throughout all of Luke chapter 1, all of Luke chapter 2, all of Matthew chapter 1, all of Matthew chapter 2, and really all throughout the entire Word of God, hey, there's one truth that runs from beginning to end, and that is this, that Jesus is number one. And when we are in the Christmas spirit, He gets the preeminence. Every one of these stories, you know what they say? They don't magnify Mary. No, they magnify. Let's look at that just for anybody that might think that right there. In verse number 43, it says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord," right? It's not about the mother. It's about the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 43, she said, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? In verse number 42, she said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." It's not about Mary. It's about the Lord. Mary said it in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, when we have the Christmas spirit, hey, it's all about Jesus. Thank you. It's all about Jesus. Can I ask you, young people, hear me tonight. What's Christmas really about to you? Presents? Get-togethers? Family? Break from school? Say, "Hey, bro, you're getting hard. It's getting hard now, Brother David. It's getting real hard, right? I understand the presents, but I really need a break from school." But hey, it's about Jesus. That's what it's about. Hey, let's not forget this Christmas. It's not about all those other things. It's about Jesus. And when we are really in the Christmas spirit, it's a spirit of preeminence. Jesus always gets first place. You know, all these churches, I'm really wearied, and I talked to some people, and I've been talking to a guy here recently. These churches that are all over the place, and they talk about the Holy Ghost, right? Oh man, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak in tongues, and they jiggle around, and they shake, and they fall on the floor. And you say, "Brother Dave, you're lying." No, I'm telling the truth. A man just told me recently that he went down to the altar, he prayed, they laid hands on him, and his whole body started convulsing, and he fell on the floor. And he was saying, "Man, it was God." I told him it was a God, little g, a God of this world. So how do you know, Brother David? Because they're not talking about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God is nowhere where Jesus isn't number one. The Holy Spirit of God's number one responsibility is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a person tells you they got filled with the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't lifting up Jesus, they're a liar. Because when we really get in the Christmas spirit, we can't help but talk about Jesus. Because it's all about Him. Everything's about Him. Life's about Him. Work's about Him. Family's about Him. Church is about Him. Everything is about Him. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you're really in the Christmas spirit, if I'm really in the Christmas spirit, you say, "How will I know, Brother David?" It's going to all be about Jesus. Everything. You say everything? Everything. That He might get the preeminence. So the spirit of Christmas is this. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of praise. It's a spirit of proclamation. It's a spirit of perception. It's a spirit of peace. It's a spirit of patience. It's a spirit of pardon. And it's a spirit of preeminence. Can I ask you now, are you in the Christmas spirit? That's a tough question. If we're honest with ourselves tonight, I can tell you this. As I've been studying and thinking and meditating, I've been asking myself all week, am I in the Christmas spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Ghost? Does God have control of me? And I want you to ask yourself that tonight. This is a good checklist for us to find out. Because if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, these things are going to be evident in our life. You say, well, Brother David, if that's the case, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. What can I do? Then we need to get to God, ask for forgiveness, repent of our sin, get our hearts clean before God, and ask Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit. And then when He does, yield to Him. Right? I just tell our teenagers about the Holy Spirit. Ask. Right? Ask. Allow. And abstain. You want the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Ask Him. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Allow Him. When He says, be patient. Okay, God. Speak to that person. Okay, God. Praise My name. Okay, God. When He starts speaking, when you ask Him to fill you and He starts speaking to you, allow Him. Obey Him. And then abstain. Because you know what's going to happen? If you really get serious, if somebody gets serious, can I tell you, and I'm going to be done. I said 6:30. I'm 7:30. I got 8:30. Whatever time. I don't know. I can't read that clock. We didn't do Roman numerals at Billy Monroe. We did numbers, right, Brother Calvin? I don't know nothing about them Roman numerals. I told my wife, we had a youth conference shirt one time. I'm going to go over because I'm saying this. We had a youth conference shirt one time, and I told my wife, I said, I really like this shirt because a lot of our youth conference shirts say, like, you know, youth conference 2009, and I'm like, they know this shirt is, like, you know, 8 years old, but we got one time, and it said youth conference, and it had these X's and stuff on it and a V or something like that, and I told Meredith, I said, I really like this youth conference shirt, I said, because it don't have a date on it, and she was like, actually, it does. It's in Roman numerals, right? But hey, you know, I didn't know it was a date on it, right? Amen, that's right. But anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. I said we was going to get out on time, but I really had an important story. Oh, I know. I'm done. I'm serious. Now y'all ain't going to believe me. It's just not going to have as much impact, but I'm serious tonight, okay? I don't want to play church. I mean it with everything, that's every ounce of my being before God tonight. I mean, if I could just open my heart up to you people, I don't want to play church. You say, have you, Brother David? I have. And I'm ashamed of it. But I don't want to. I got family members. You know what they need? They need me full of the Holy Ghost. I got friends. I got coworkers. I got young people. I got people in my life that what they need, I got a family that needs a father that's filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And there's nothing more this Christmas I want. If I could tell God, if God said you can have one thing for Christmas, what would it be? I really believe, I've been thinking about it all week, I believe it'd be, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I want you to control my life. I don't want to go through the motions. Let's not play church. Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost. I wish some young person would get serious about God and say, you know what? I'm not going to go through the motions. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother David, when you said our young people's not filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't know. Do they have power? Do they praise the Lord? Are they proclaiming the truth? Do they have peace? Is there perception? Is Christ preeminent? If we're filled with the Holy Ghost, he will be. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the real Christmas spirit. Let's have a word of prayer.